episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast, back from our Thanksgiving break. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will. There we go. Okay, I couldn't hear what did they say?
Hi, I'm Daisy.
Oh, hi.
Thank you! Thank you, Tyler! Thank you for catching that.
It was maybe so scratchy. Turn it down next time.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But yeah, I just want to think about a matching bit because this podcast is actually a special one because by the time of this recording, it's actually my birthday today. So yeah, that's also a special day for this special podcast.
Todd,
the sense of sarcasm. Oh my god.
You didn't even wish Will a happy birthday before
we
got on.
I was waiting for the podcast so that he could hear you could hear my praise of Will throughout the entire podcast first.
30 years old and the host doesn't even tell me happy birthday? I mean, I'm out. I'm leaving. I am bad mouthing you all over the internet. Will's a good person.
Yeah, all right, I respect that. Will, we of course wish you a happy birthday. We hope you had a wonderful time. I don't know if you got any gifts, but I hope they were magnificent.
Will, which of the voice actors / actresses that you tug wished you a happy birthday, and which ones didn't?
Well, I tried to do some similar things. I tried to get Ashton Conroy, Yakko, Rob Paulson. Unfortunately, not only the three actors got back to me. Amanda Wynn Lee, Corey Walgreen, actually one of the actors, and
Edelgard got back to you.
Tara Platt. Yes, I actually got Tara Platt.
Cool. Did she ask you to join the Black Eagles? I'm just saying.
Well, actually, she just announced it on her Twitter account. She's doing another Fire Emblem signing on stream. So yeah, she's doing it with the whole cast of Fire Emblem. So yeah, coming up December 12th on Sunday, if I'm correct, December 12th or 13th. So there's that. So yeah, I'll probably spend some money. Who knows? But it's not like $100. I know that there's a very special print of the three leaders for $120 with Chris Hackney and Joe Sega. So, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, I was tempted to do like the tagging thing for my birthday, but I'm just like, I don't care. Also, my birthday was on Election Day, so
that was the worst time.
That would have been the worst possible time. So, yeah. So I'm good. Thank you. But anyway, we do hope you had a good birthday, and now you get to spend it with us, which of course ruins it entirely. You're welcome.
At least tomorrow, by the time we're recording, we've got to get Fire Emblems, the classic Fire Emblems, so I'll probably plan to get that later on. And plus, who knows, I'll get sushi later on in the weekend.
All right, and of course, Tellius Tyler is here.
Yes, that's right. I haven't been introduced yet, but I am here as well, and I am a disgrace to Nintendo fans everywhere, and to
tell
you,
them why.
The listener, because I may have left my Switch at home at my parents' house over Thanksgiving, maybe, and they live 8 hours away. So there's a chance. The bad news is I can't break down Age of Calamity for you guys. You're going to have to listen to Todd's shoddy, critiques. And Will, it's his birthday. He's going to have some valuable insight. But, you know, on a normal week, you know, you'd really be lacking. So that was brutal. I am really surprised Todd didn't say anything. He just took it. That was unexpected.
I'll get you later. You know
I will. So that was embarrassing, and I am embarrassed, and I apologize profusely to that. And I started playing the PS5, which feels dirty. It does. It feels dirty. Like it's cool. Like it's really cool, and I like it a lot. Like, so that's a little another.
Hey, you're talking to a guy. I mean, heck, you also have another co-host who has a PS4. So heck, you're not the only one who's doing these systems.
True. True, yeah. But like I really liked Spider-Man. Like I liked it a lot.
I've heard. I honestly wish I could have gotten a PS4 just so I could have played Spider-Man, because I heard that was so good. Like my Twitter feed was filled with all sorts of Spider-Man pictures when that came out. I'm not afraid to say that the console has good games. That's not an insult, you know. Now if it was Xbox, that'd be another thing. So, let's get right into this, because we have a rather interesting show for you tonight, because we're going to be catching up on things since we were gone last week for Thanksgiving, and we all hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, should you celebrate it. And so let's get the start off with what have you been playing? And since one of us has not been playing the game that we all said we would be playing and then talking about the next time we came on, Tyler, tell us about the game that you were playing instead of the one you should have been playing.
Yeah, so I was playing Spider-Man, and I will not, it's a cardinal sin, one that I believe we may commit too often, and by we, I mean one of our hosts commits a little too often talking about non-Nintendo games.
Excuse me, princess.
But no, I was talking about Todd. Will, you're a little, don't be so sensitive. I was obviously Todd cannot get enough of his Xbox games.
Right.
No, so I was playing Spider-Man, and to keep it Nintendo focused, I was struck playing this how foreign it felt, because I too grew up with an Xbox or a PlayStation 3 and an Xbox 360 also. Like, I had all three at that point. But that was the last time I played non-Nintendo games. It was like 6 years ago. So playing this for the first time, it blew my mind how far the technology came. And I don't know like where exactly that stuff happened, but playing it on my parents' ridiculously nice 4K, like 50-inch TV, it's a ridiculously nice TV, it felt like watching a movie. And like that's, I know that's a cliche, it straight up, like the beginning of the game, it felt like a movie, and like Spider-Man like runs out of the house and like goes to fight crime, and like there's a cutscene in the beginning where he's doing that, and then like it transitions seamlessly into swinging, like when you're playing, and just the rush that I got, the tingles that sent down my spine, it was so satisfying, so cool. And it did make me think, like, dang, I wish there was Nintendo games with this type of production value. Like, the production value is crazy good. But at the same time, there were definitely things that I'm like, no way this error would make it into a Nintendo game. For example, surprisingly glitchy. Like, I didn't think it was going to be that glitchy. It reminded me of Fallout 3 in a way. Like, there were constant weird things that were happening. And I don't even think reviews mention this game being buggy. But I found it, coming from a Nintendo's perspective, to be, like, shockingly buggy. Good news is, on PS5, you can restart your system in, like, 2 seconds. Like, just close app, open game, and you're back in no exaggeration, 5 seconds I was playing again. But there was a lot of times where I have to actually pause out, or the system would crash. I don't know if it was the game or the console, but it would happen far too often. But also, I feel as though the game, it occasionally would pull a non-Nintendo move with prioritizing story before gameplay. So there's these sections where you're Mary Jane and you're Miles Morales before he gets Spider-Man powers. Spoiler alert, Miles Morales gets Spider-Man powers. And they're like, They're not clunky, they're not fun, that's for sure, and it's odd that they made it into the game that's so, like the combat is perfect, you just totally feel like Spider-Man the whole way, it captures exactly what it's going for, and then they, like, throw in this kind of curveball, like, new gameplay mechanic that has nothing to do with playing as, like, it's totally different than playing as Pete, And I thought that was odd, and I'm glad Nintendo really doesn't do stuff like that. Like, they don't shoot. It's a stealth section. Like, this game is an action game, and there are stealth moments. And if you played Arkham Knight, it's, like, exactly like Batman, but with Spider-Man. But taking away the powers and, like, making it into, like, a don't-get-spotted game, like, totally sucked the fun out of it. And I can't think of the last time a Nintendo game did that, where they put in this, like, ridiculous gameplay mechanic that had nothing to do with the main game, just for the sake of, in this case, I think it was advancing the story is what they were going for more, and it was cool to play as Mary Jane, I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, and then the one other thing I thought about was QuickTime events. There are so many QuickTime events, and I hate them. Like, they're not fun. QuickTime events are the worst, and why are they still in games? Nintendo never puts QuickTime events into games. Again, I might be wrong thinking about it.
Yeah, I know Donkey Kong had some, like Donkey Kong Country Returns, that one had QuickTime events, like for the boss fights.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's a little different. Like, that's after you beat the boss, you would have to shake the controller, and that's fine. Like, that's a totally different thing. This is like, you're beating up Wilson Fisk, and okay, now it's a cutscene. You beat him up, now it's a cutscene, and if you don't hit R2 at the right time, like, he escapes your grab, and then you have to restart the segment. Or, like, I was fighting Vulture and Shocker, and there was a segment where, for, like, I felt like the timing was awful on it, where you had to press circle to dodge Vulture. And, like, the whole fight, I was doing just fine. But for some reason, like, the timing on this QuickTime event, it was really slow. Like, it didn't seem like it was something you could mess up, and I almost felt like my circle button wasn't working. But it would, like, wipe me back to the beginning of the QuickTime event because he would, like, hit you. But Pete was fine. Like, it wasn't, like, a death blow or anything. He'd just, like, knock you off of Shocker. And they're like, why do I have to restart over this? It's stupid. Don't like QuickTime events. Not sure why they're in those games. And I'm glad that Nintendo doesn't do them. But if you do have a PlayStation 5 and you have not experienced Spider-Man, it's phenomenal. Like, it's the best game I played this year besides Xenoblade. Xenoblade better. But great, great game and a phenomenal launch title. So, yeah, I'm blown away by how good the PlayStation 5's graphics are. Blown away. It's a great system. Sans some expected early day crashes and glitches.
Did you see?
I was just hoping that Sony can actually provide a good solid line of PS5s, because last I checked, even online keys are still having some problems, but they're slowly improving. So yeah, so here's hoping that people get their PS5s.
Yeah, I don't expect Nintendo to win November at this point. I do not expect Nintendo to win November.
I don't know. I think it's going to be closer than you think.
It just all depends on production, you know? And Nintendo did get their production turned around, so it's possible. It is definitely possible.
I saw, and we aren't going to mention this, but like, apparently so far for November, the sales of, or the, during November, the sales of the Switch in the UK were up 96% compared to last year.
Compared to last year?
That was just the UK.
Wow, that's really fun. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised given how well sales have done during this global pandemic, but I mean, Age of Calamity, big game for sure, not the biggest game. I'm surprised that jump is. I mean, Pokemon last year? I think it was.
Yes, Pokemon was last year.
Yeah, so that's really surprising to me.
Yeah. So now that Tyler has done gloating over glamorizing the PS5, which we all know is going to be a sales failure. I mean, come on.
Guaranteed
they
flop.
They can't even keep the sales going on websites. What's wrong with you people?
Wait, are you sure you don't want to hear about the few rounds of Halo 3 that I played with my younger brother? Because those were pretty fun.
No. So now we're going to talk about the real game that we're going to be talking about for most of the episode, actually. That's Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. Because Will and I, as loyal Nintendo followers, did indeed get the game. We've been playing it for about 2 weeks now. My review of it will be up either Friday or Saturday. I'm honestly trying to beat the game, but obviously between work and Thanksgiving weekend, that just didn't happen yet. So I'm hopeful, but either way, it will be up this weekend. And so far, I'm honestly really love the game, and it's really fun. The biggest thing for me is that, the biggest difference between the first Hyrule Warriors and the second one is that the first one was independent. It was literally like its own Elseworld story, complete with anime waifus, and multiple ones, actually. And this one is just Breath of the Wild, but in like a different gameplay style. I mean, you got the Koroks, you got the fairies, you got, you know, all the collecting of weapons and supplies and... the cooking and everything. It's just they took everything that you liked about Breath of the Wild and they put it into a different context. And they took out the worst parts about Breath of the Wild, like the weather and the breaking weapons. Shocking!
Yep. That's a big improvement.
So, but overall, we won't spoil too much, but so far the game is just, it's really deep. It's got a lot of story to it.
Yeah.
We actually get to see how the four champions were conscripted, drafted, however you want to assemble, however you want to say it, and it's really fun. I am happy to say that Mipha is still adorable.
I can confirm
there were some rumors going around that this wasn't the case, but I can't confirm that Revali is still a dick. I mean, he was a dick before, but man, is he a dick now?
How's his theme song though? Because his theme song is
Revali's theme is so great. Revali's theme is so great.
It's the best song in Zelda besides maybe Zelda's Lullaby. That's just top of the head. I could be wrong, but
on that note, I'm not going to spoil this, but they bring in the lullaby in the way you are never going to expect it, and it's hilarious. Will knows what I'm talking about, but I'm not gonna spoil it, but they bring in the lullaby in the most offbeat and interesting way possible. I'm very curious to see what you think about it when it comes time. But yeah, overall, I really like the game. I think for me, and I'll admit, it's been a while since I played the original. I feel this one is just a bit fresher and more diverse in terms of the gameplay, especially because in the original, I really just felt like I was just killing monsters left and right with like, oh, take this base, take that base, take that base, take that base. Now it's more like kind of like a Fire Emblem.
You have to be clear when you say the original, because I thought you were talking about like Breath of the Wild.
No, sorry.
And I was
the original,
like,
the original
what
world?
First Hyrule Warriors. The first Hyrule Warriors, yeah.
But you know, the original Hyrule Warriors, it really felt like you were just like taking bases left and right and that was it. Whereas this one, you really are kind of going like, okay, you need to take this place, you need to hold this place. There's like defense missions where you have to withstand monster hordes that are attacking your base. There's escort missions. There's like, I just did a mission where I had to blow up trees to block paths. There's a mission in the Lost Woods, which actually acts like a Lost Woods mission where, you know, you can get turned around and everything. It's really, really fun. There's a lot more diversity.
Yes.
And I really appreciate that. And of course, that's not even saying anything about the various character styles. my personal favorites of the characters that I have, and I won't go beyond Hestu, who we already had confirmed as a character. I won't go beyond Hestu and who you get, but my personal favorites are Link, which is not too much of a surprise. I've always just been a swordsman.
Yep.
Fa, because she's blinding fast. Revali's pretty good, but I haven't had a chance to. I don't use him as much as I probably should.
He's kind of tough. He's kind of
he
tough. He's
tough.
Mostly aerial based.
He's very aerial based. And then, why can I never say her name? Gerudo.
Urbosa.
Urbosa. I always want to say Noboru or Orboro, or like why? I don't know. But no, Urbosa. Urbosa has this really cool lightning technique.
Yeah, I love her.
She's really good. But no, Link and Mipha are my go tos. Zelda is honestly kind of hard to control
because of her
Sheikah Slate dependence. Impa is OP, but I literally have no idea what I'm doing with her. I was just like, okay, throw out symbols. Okay, absorb symbols. Everyone's attacking. Okay, this is good. I don't feel like I actually have control over her. So, like, that's a weird thing. But, no, Link and Mipha are my go-to. Of course, I ship them for life. Outside of Midna, obviously. But, no, the game is really good. I'm not sure my score yet. I think I'm flirting between a 4 and a 4.5. It's just really fun. Like, right after the podcast, I'm literally going to go back and play it for, like, an hour. So, me and Will were talking about, like, moderation. It's definitely a game that you want to, you know, go up and play for an hour, and then maybe put down, then recharge, then go and play, you know, an hour or two afterwards. You know, don't blaze through this. It's not like Breath of the Wild where you just get, like, immersed, but it's good for the bite-sized fun, and you can find ways to, like, you know, change everything up and make it fresh, like by switching characters and all that, and or like Will likes to know the completion angle, which I'll let him talk about. We all noted how nervous we were about this game, and my nervousness like washed away like an hour or so of getting into this. And this game is long. I don't even know how close I am to the end. I feel like I'm getting close based on some cutscenes that are coming out. But, yeah, I'm really, really loving this game.
Yeah, the compliment on all that is this game is really a great step up from the original Hyrule Warriors game. Like when I was playing with Link and all these characters, like, as you said before, like, in the original game, it's just basically a simple combo system with all the characters. Like, they have a simple combo chain. That's just about it. That applies to every single character. But here in Age of Calamity, like, each character has their own unique moves, like Link's arrow, Mipha's water spouts, Daruk's lava trigger explosions. Like, all these characters have their own unique traits that makes stand out unique. I mean, Hestu summons Koroks, and I'll just give a brief spoiler because there's actually a secret character you can unlock. You actually can play as the fairy sisters, the great fairies themselves.
I told you and we weren't going to spoil that. I said
I know,
we're going to go
know.
Beyond Hestu, and you go right. This is why I'm the host, because I can at least follow the rules.
Okay, but I really got mentioned because, like, yeah, like, aside, I appreciate some more characters aside from the Great Fairies, but I just really got to mention it, that the Great Fairies themselves, oh boy, like, they can clear out crowds, but at the same time, you are a big target. And emphasis on make, because as you know, the original game, the gray phase, well, they're plus size, if you can't tell. So I'll just leave it at that. But once you try out the gray fairies, it's like, okay, that I'm just kind of sad. Like even the Switch has some hard time when you play the gray fairies. The Switch does have some problems running with them if there's like a lot of things happening with the gray when you're playing as gray fairies. So just FYI, but. Aside from that, like the completion, that's why I'm having like I'm still taking my time with this game, is because like I want to try to clear out the zones, do all the missions, like expand on the combos strengths for each all my characters. It's like, okay, like there is definitely some grind in here. I admit, yeah, like if you're trying absolutely. To grind for some trying for materials, or like heck, even when I'm using my five amiibo just to get extra materials on the spot, but there'd be sometimes like I still had to go to some missions to like grind some a particular item, like a fish or something like that. So it is a grind in this game. But if you want to like really be that completionist 100% for each of all the zones, then yeah, this definitely will pay off once you like face off different difficult chapters. Like I just really like this game. Like I'm kind of the gamer that basically finished up every single side quest before I headed to the main mission, as always in previous podcasts, and just like yeah, playing as Barbossa, and just this game really does the original story well. And like again, seeing Zelda, seeing King Rom in more cutscenes, and all these characters being so fleshly, like really expanded. That's the thing I wanted in the original game, and many people wanted. So they have these extra cutscenes, extra acting, just hear them talk more. That's pretty awesome, to say the least.
I liked how they expanded the Urbosa-Zelda relationship. You know, mm-hmm. like her calling her little bird and her encouragement throughout. Because we only had that one real cutscene in the main game.
And right, and like, briefly in the Battle of Champions. Yeah, just a minor addition.
I haven't seen a lot of Revali cutscenes, ironically enough. We need more of him and his combative relationship with Link.
Yeah, he's just pretty much a Falco to Link's Fox. It's just like, he's so antagonistic to Link. I'm just like, geez, can you put a socket in Revali? Even our boss is like getting tired of his antagonism. But yeah, overall, like, yeah, personally for me, I also do like Link and... yeah, just all these characters, so fun. I mean, sure, Daruk is a little bit tough, but yeah, Mipha, I'm not sure if you guys seen the show, but Mipha really reminds me of Attack on Titan, like just using the 3D maneuver gear. Just if you know what I mean, you know what I mean. It's just like Mipha, with the way she uses her water spots and just basically just glides in the air combos, just spinning. She reminds me a whole lot, but like Levi. If you know that character, then you know what I mean. But I'll stop. But yeah, all these characters greatly fun to use, and just basically a completionist dream to like really help if you want to like really add that much time into it. But yeah, story-wise great. Sure, again, it is a Musou, you can't get tiresome, so just play it in bursts. But if you want something that's like a good complement to the original Breath of the Wild game, this is definitely the game to get. So absolutely. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I highly recommend it too. And again, look for my review. It'll be coming up either on Friday or Saturday, just depending on how everything goes. But it's going to be a positive review, no doubt. And I really want to beat the game because I want to see how it ends, because I've done my best to not get spoiled on the ending, all right? And I almost saw something. I almost it said like how the ending of Hyrule Warriors affects Breath of the Wild, and I'm like, don't want to read it. Don't want
right,
to know.
Right.
No,
right.
And I will not spoil it in the review. I do promise. So, but stay tuned for that, okay? And then when Tyler eventually does play it, you know, once he gets his Switch back from New Jersey,
it might not be there. Let's not jump to conclusions.
First of all, you know in your heart of hearts it's there, because
sure,
you would have.
It's
you
not would've... in my backpack or in my suitcase or in my trunk or in my passenger seat or in my back seat. But maybe it's somewhere. Maybe I just missed it. It could be here. Why are you so negative?
I'm a realist.
And just to give you a lifeline here, Tyler, because like actually during this holiday season, actually bit the bullet and actually bought Hades. So yes, I want to see see what everyone's been talking about, and just see like everybody talks about like the Greek god and Dantos. So yes, I will be trying out Hades down the line.
I saw the weirdest article the other day about Hades, and I'm like, apparently the voice acting of Hades is so, how do I say this properly, sensual that apparently they're already, how do I say this, G-rated?
You really can't. Are you talking about
the Greek gods? They're the most, one of the most extended history parts in the culture.
No, basically, like there's a cult of people who love just the voice acting of the game because it makes them have certain feelings.
Ah, okay.
Get my drift.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's only goes to shows how great the voice acting is
it's
in
true.
This game. Because like there is some things that sometimes a simple voice is enough to set. That's the power of moe. This is the Western moe, if anything else. Just hearing the voice will set your heart on fire.
Yeah.
That's what...
I don't know if I totally even agree with that. Like Megara, I could like at first I was didn't really like her voice, but then like the more I listened to it, the more I was like, oh, I see what they're going for here, and yes, it works. But and like even Aphrodite, like her voice is like pretty normal. I don't totally agree.
Well, I mean, it's all about preference, Tyler. I mean, it just means you don't dig to Aphrodite.
Yeah, but
that's
I don't know if
like,
they were totally even going for her. But, maybe they were. We'll
you know the fans. You know the fans.
Yeah, I know the fans. All right. Well, because we were gone last week, we now basically have 2 weeks of news to cover from what happened then and what's been happening now. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. So starting off with, wait for it, Hyrule Warriors. What a shock. Because if you recall a couple podcasts back, I noted that while I felt that Age of Calamity would be a success on the Switch and that it would definitely get over 1 million units, I said at max it would probably get about 3 million units sold. I was wrong? Yeah, a little bit. Because it sold 3 million in like 3 days. Oops. My bad. How was I supposed to know? No, seriously, like they noted that it sold, let's see, the game came out on the 20th, and then on the 24th they announced that it sold over 3 million units. So that's 3 million in 3 days, give or take. And that doesn't include the digital sales, which, as has been shown for Mario and Animal Crossing, have been very huge on Nintendo systems as of late. I actually got a digital copy because of our dear leader, King Koopa Keith. And so that's huge. All right. Not the least of which is that the original Hyrule Warriors on the Wii U, it only sold about 1 million, a little over 1 million. And then I don't know about the ports. I don't think they did that well. But, yeah, it's already sold three times that in 3 days.
Ooh,
and
ooh,
it's been like 2 weeks later, so I would be venturing a guess that they are about at 5 million now. So, yeah, go Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah, like as we said in the beginning, this game is a great complement to the original Breath of the Wild. Just, again, this is kind of some things that even, like, there's some parts that even does better than the original game. Again, we have so much more backstory and more cutscenes with these characters. We want to know more. So just to see this game doing good from a third party is just like, okay, gotta give props to Koei Tecmo. It's like an Omega Force. When they know how to do a Warriors game well, if they give the effort, then yes. I mean, and yes, I'm looking at you, Fire Emblem Warriors, that thing. Yeah. But overall, I'm just glad to see that game is doing well and that people are enjoying it. So, and now we're heading to holiday season, so who knows, the sales will probably go up after that.
Yeah,
it's going to continue to climb for sure. It just goes to show you how powerful the Zelda brand is. I mean, they picked a good release window for it, but I didn't expect it to blow these numbers away. Like, did it sell more than Pokemon in Pokemon's first week? Like, it's close.
No.
Like, it's crazy how much
Pokemon
it sold.
Had 5 million plus.
Yeah, but I mean, it sold ridiculously well.
Yeah. And obviously we could attribute part of this to the difference of the sales between the Wii U and Switch, but I think the bigger thing is that, like I noted earlier, the original Hyrule Warriors was a standalone, like, Elseworld title, versus with Age of Calamity, where this is banking off of one of the most successful, no, the most successful Zelda game ever, and one of the most popular games of recent years in Breath of the Wild. So, like, a lot of people were very eager to dive into that world again. So, that no doubt helped. And with all the positive reviews, including the one I'm going to be giving, yeah, this is going to be selling well. I'm going to be very interested in the Black Friday sales. Because, again, it got up right up until the Black Friday. It was 24th and the, what was Black Friday? The 26th? Or something like that. 27th. There you go. So you see, like, these were the numbers right before Black Friday, so I would expect a spike there. And, yeah, but congrats to the Hyrule Warriors team. I mean, what? Dang. You guys killed it. So, all right, from one sales number to another, I found an interesting article that showed that Okami HD had its best-selling version on the Switch. Yeah. So for those who don't recall, Okami, the original Okami, was a classic from the Capcom. From the Capcom? From Capcom in the, I believe it was the 360 PS3 era.
PS2 era, actually.
Apologies. Yes, PS2 era. And then it was widely beloved, nominated for Game of the Year. And then, like certain other titles, including Resident Evil 4, it got ported to basically every single system you can imagine. And then they made an HD version, and they put it on the Xbox One, the PS3, the PS4, the PC, and then Switch. And yet, despite the Switch coming last in that lineup, it sold over 600,000 copies. Now, guess what the second best-selling one was?
The Wii.
I didn't know. First of all, that did not have HD capabilities. Listen to me. You would have heard that, Will.
It's Will's birthday. Cut him some slack. Oh, my goodness. This is unbelievable.
He is a year older. I hold him to a higher standard. I said that Okami HD came out on the Xbox One, the PS4, the PS3, the PC, and the Switch. The Switch had the top selling. What was the second?
PS4?
Nope. That was second to last, actually.
Yeah, no, that was second to last. It was the PC.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Which I found shocking because not only did I not know that it was on PC, I didn't think that PC gamers would want to try it for one reason or another. But hey, go PC Master Race, I guess. So, but yeah, this is yet another example of the Switch just dominating the sales charts and proving that, hey, if you put a game on the Switch, it's likely going to do well.
Fun fact about Okami HD, this is rare for me. This is very rare for me. You guys know this. When I buy a game, I play it.
Right.
I bought Okami HD and I have not played it. But maybe I will in the next couple of days with the Switch that is definitely in my room somewhere. So that'll be nice.
I think the reason like why the Switch version has been doing so well because like even when they like ported from the original PS2 and then of course they brought it to the Wii, like obviously the Wii had the motion controls, actually can use that the brush technique, and now with the Switch, I think that's kind of also the extra reason why it did so well, because like the IR controllers, I believe they have motion controllers as well with the Switch version, so you actually can draw a straight perfect accurate shapes. So I think that may be the reason why. So I think maybe one of the factors.
Yeah, I mean, I've honestly never played Okami. I don't know why, because I had a PS2. I liked my PS2 a lot. And I remember, like, X-Play reviewing Okami, giving it 5 stars and everything. And it just never clicked that I should get it. I honestly don't know why. So,
I guess maybe because it was being covered with a lot of other games like Resident Evil 4 in the prior times, but... The best way I can sum it is easy. It's Japanese Legend of Zelda. The best way that we could describe it. So,
I know what it is. I just never got around to playing it.
If anything else, this game is timeless. So that, and again, from the creator of Clover Studios, a la Platinum Games, and of course with the mind of Shinji Mikami and who was the one who blocked me again? Hideki Kamiya. Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the team is. Has done a great thing, and yeah, Okami is definitely one of their prize gems. So definitely, if you get anybody get a chance, definitely try out Okami. It's pretty much cheap now these days.
All right, so moving on, we have positive news for 2021, which we could all use entirely. Super Nintendo World has an official opening date. It will be launching in Japan on February the 4th. There will be a certain rides there. They're obviously going to be expanding it as time goes on. But one of the big rides that they just unveiled is Bowser's Castle. And inside Bowser's Castle is a Mario Kart level where you'll actually be able to drive your own Mario Karts, have races for the various cups. They actually even showed them. They look really, really good. You'll be able to wield all sorts of weapons and be able to like race a lot. So it's going to be a very interesting experience, no doubt.
The Bowser's Castle looked insanely good. Like, it was really, really cool. Exactly how you would imagine it. It made me want to go there. Like,
yeah.
let's first clean up from the whole COVID situation first. But yeah, just like seeing Bowser's Castle, the statue, like the bus, I feel like that was enough to be the entrance to the park, I feel like. And then like seeing on the side of Mario Kart's VR arcade is like, okay, like who says video games can't be real? It's just like, oh my God. And I can only imagine like what other rides they have included in Universal Studios Japan, like just seeing this thing, like, ah, Bobby, can we go, please?
Yeah, I would have totally been there for its opening, but you know, pandemic. So, but hey, we'll hear what the Japanese people get to think of it, and you know, there's gonna be kinks to work out, no doubt, because there's always like. Look up the opening of Disneyland. Trust me, it was not as picturesque as you might think. But like, I like this, and the main image on the article I wrote for it actually shows a picture of like what you can expect a little bit, and like the carts themselves look like really good. And they're really long; they could fit like four people on it. So you're each basically having like your own experience, I guess. And of course, you're going to have like all the cups that you can fight for. So. They're going all out on this, and there was like this big statue of Bowser that's like insanely detailed because it's his castle. Why wouldn't he have a statue of himself? So, a lot to look forward to, and again, opening on February 4th, and there's definitely going to be more details coming out. So stay tuned for that. And then if it's successful there, it'll be coming here, so I don't have to go over the ocean, which I've never been.
Well, that depends if Universal Studios Florida or if any of the Universal Studios here in America has that budget, to say the least. So
it
depends.
They'll get it. I mean, they made a world of Harry Potter, and it's still like one of the most popular things, even with all the movies, the real movies being gone for a long time. Yeah, I don't count that Fantastic Beasts stuff. Okay, like I really tried with that. It's wrong. It's an abomination. I'm sorry. Not sorry, Rhesus. Moving on. So, as Will kind of alluded to earlier, has it already launched, the Fire Emblem game? Or is that coming?
By the time it comes out. By the time we're done with recording.
Okay, tomorrow, I couldn't remember if it was the 4th or the 6th. But, yes, the original Fire Emblem game is finally being ported to the U.S. It'll be a digital download game. And people are already... speaking out on this. Take it away, Will.
Okay, so when the embargo was lifted and the reviews came out, many definitely appreciate, again, the game being like very true. And again, the first story of the Fire Emblem franchise that basically set the course of history. And of course, naturally, a lot of people have their criticisms. One, obviously, is being as a 30 plus year old game, which again, it's the bells and whistles are not there. It's very dated. And of course, like a lot of people, they can complain, like, yeah, this, like, if you got to complain and that this game, I don't know, compare this game from the original game to like Three Houses, like, are you serious? Like, are you really going to complain, put like the standards of like today's gaming market to and compare it to a 30-year-old plus game? I mean, sure, like, I don't know. That's one thing I think a lot of people would argue, like, back in my day, the original Fire Emblem, we don't have save points. We did not have Mina's turn wheel. We did, like, you are, like, you young gamers are so spoiled these days. Like, you can't handle the hard difficulty of not having save states. It's like, okay.
That old person impression came a little too naturally for you, Will. I know you're 30, but you're 30. You're not 50.
It's just like, but... anyways, it's just like seeing like, and of course, I think last I checked on Metacritic, now it's like sitting at a 60 point. It's sitting pretty much in the middle, if anything else. Okay, if these complaints are coming from like kids, okay, I could probably understand. But if like coming from full fledged adults like myself or anybody else are saying like this game is too hard. Oh no, it's 30. Like it's a 30 plus year game. Like. Like, come on, this is the kind of, like you people do not appreciate your traditions. If it was not for this game in Japan, we would never have Fire Emblem Awakening or Three Houses. So respect your elders. It's definitely kind of there's the divide, say the least, in the Fire Emblem fan base. But for this game, from what I've seen, like, if you appreciate a very difficult, the Fire Emblem difficulty that it's been known for, then this game is pretty much right up your alley. But there are moments, like I've heard from consensus of reviewers, is that there are times where you are going to get pushed the limit, like have to defend one point, resource management, just like there is something, things that like only exist back in the day, which like granted it is very dated in today's standards. Yes, from item limits or like have to go to one spot to the map just to buy items of a convoy of some of that sort. It's just there are some definitely dated mechanics that, yeah, the game shows its age for a 30 plus year old game. On the other hand, like, it's because of these things, like, that's how we improve. So again, Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon walked so that Three Houses can run. So like, depend on what, like, if, once you get this game tomorrow, like, definitely see, make your own opinions. Like, do you appreciate, like, if you can appreciate the tradition of a classic game like Shadow Dragon with its upgrade build features, like now with save states as well bookmarks, then you can probably understand how this game was pretty much the one that paved the way for the rest of the series. So make your opinion of what you will if you plan to get the game. So, but also make sure, be fair, if you play Shadow Dragon and if it's going to kick your butt, well, it kicks your butt. So definitely make an adjustment once you get the game.
They did some cool things, though. They added a times two speed to it. Yes, I think, yes, like, yes, playing, yes, any older Fire Emblem game, honestly, even the newer ones, like the enemy phase where the computer attacks you, takes forever. And like Radiant Dawn is like the pinnacle of this, where there's like 40 enemies and you have to watch them all move, and you can only speed it up like a tiny bit, and it takes forever. They added like times two speed, which is nice. You can go back to any turn in the entire game if you want to. So if you like missed an item that you want to get and you're on like two maps ahead and you're like, you know what, I really wish I went back and got that item, you can do that. So they did add some nice little like tiny details. But the like you said, Will, you put it well, the reason you get this is because you want to see where the series began. Like, if this is not going to be Three Houses, it's not going to be Path of Radiance, it's not even going to be New Mystery of the Emblem that came out like 5 years later. Like, this is the first entry in the series. It's a piece of history, and that's why, as a fan, I'm excited for it. And I think I'll probably love it because I'm addicted to ridiculously challenging games and have an insane threshold for Fire Emblem annoying me and then just getting over it right away. So that's me, though.
As your local contrarian, I just want to revoice my personal feelings that this was a total missed opportunity by Nintendo. They had the chance, the ability, and the time. They can't tell me they didn't have the time to remake again this game and make it updated, better graphics. No, they don't have to put in things like Mila's turn wheel. I would respect them not doing that to keep the original difficulty, but to give this thing a freaking facelift, to entice everyone to check out the original, to make them understand why this game inspired so much, and they blew it. They just said, no, we'll keep the graphics, we'll translate everything, we'll add in a times two speed and a save feature and everything. And I totally understand the critics who say that, you know, it's a 30-year-old game that they're just giving to us now. All right, I totally understand it, because I looked at the graphics from the reveal trailer and I'm just like, okay, I should have feelings on this, right? So yeah, now again, if you get it, you enjoy it, that's fine. But I truly feel that this is a missed opportunity by Nintendo, especially in the wake of the success of Heroes, the super success of Three Houses.
Do you not think they're making like a fully fledged Fire Emblem game? Do you think that they're just like, they're not making
it? I don't
that?
Know. I honestly don't know. And that's
because they are. They are.
I know,
making
I'm
it.
Sure they
Your point
are.
Just makes
are
no
they doing
sense
it, are they doing
this?
It right now? I really can't say that. If they are, I would honestly think it's like early planning stages. Because, I mean, if you really think about it, these games take a lot of planning.
So I know that you suffer from severe cognitive dissonance in times like these, but
I also have split personality disorder.
I must point out that you said, don't tell me that they don't have time, which
they
is
have time.
Odd. How do you know that? Because you don't know that because to your own point, this is where the cognitive dissonance comes in, because I know you're not going to say that this is a good point, but it is. you said you don't know if they're making another game, but you know for sure that they had time to do this. How is that possible? That doesn't make any sense.
Because of what you said a few podcasts ago.
What did I say a few podcasts ago?
You said
ago?
That the reason they're making sure they get this out was because it's the 30th anniversary of Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
So,
means they're on even more.
Hold on. So that means that they had the cognitive ability to understand that this was an important milestone, just like they had the cognitive remembrance of acknowledging the 35th anniversary of Mario and being able to bundle the three games with some small improvements to make it a worthwhile experience, and the ability to make various other Mario games and everything else that they've been doing for their freaking anniversaries. And yet, for the Fire Emblem anniversary, for a game that has never come to the U.S., they go, hey, let's just, you know, touch it up with text and some gameplay mechanic things and just drop it. They'll love it. No!
Todd, Fire Emblem Three Houses released last June, or last July.
Yeah.
Like that, and then they finished DLC this year.
Yeah.
DLC, you know, that's not enough time to build a whole new game from the ground up.
First of all, we're not saying a whole new game.
You're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying. They would keep the gameplay. I acknowledge that they would do that. They wouldn't add the Mila's turn wheel. They wouldn't add, you know, certain things. They would keep it basically the same. They would just give it a visual facelift. And if they were doing that, that would have taken a lot less time. And as a person who actually does have a gameplay game development degree from an accredited university, Tyler, I do know that swapping in a new coat of paint is a lot easier than you think.
It's not a new coat of paint, though. They're 8-bit sprites.
Yeah,
8-bit sprites. You have to reconstruct that from the ground. You could, like, do the three, I guess you could, like, build them in the Three Houses engine, but you'd still have to recreate the entire game. Like, you'd have to place those objects. Like, it would be at an entire ground-up creation. Like, you could use the same... That would take a long time. At least more than a year. Like, my goodness. I knew that you were going to listen. Because you never listen. You never listen. But this one, your point is just... this one, your point of view... I understand not being excited for it. Don't get me wrong. I get that. Like, it is a 30-year-old game. But it's the idea that they would have time to do a Shadow Dragon, the fourth remake of this game in a year... is beyond the realm of reason.
I just don't agree with that. I don't agree with that because
this goes back to the cognitive dissonance thing. So I watched a video on cognitive dissonance, and they said what you should do is make a joke evens the ground. So I'm trying to think of a good joke right now, one that would make Todd laugh. And I'm trying to think of something off the top of my head. There's no puns that are coming to mind.
Darn.
Help me out here.
You knew a punster. Oh, darn. Where is that man who has the pun ability other?
We could
go to our birthday boy, because as we know, where there's a will, there's a way. Hi-o!
Wow, that's a good idea, Todd. Will, do you have any good puns for us?
Shut up.
Well, funny enough, actually, I've been watching the Hazlet Hotel, and I've been watching a bit of Alistair's dad jokes. It's like... Oh, I would make a joke about paper, but forget it. It's terrible.
That was good. That was good. And it's only good because it's your birthday.
Yeah. That was, yeah. Let's just move on. All right. All right. So let's see what we have next. Okay. This one was interesting to me because, as we all know, if you can get celebrity endorsements for your products, go for it. And Nintendo has done this in the past, including a John Cena commercial, which was odd. But in the last 2 weeks, Nintendo has released not one, but two celebrity guest starring commercials. One featuring Captain Marvel herself, Brie Larson. And then today, they released one for Serena Williams, Tennis Extraordinaire. And it's very simple and basic. You know, they're enjoying their games. Like Brie Larson is a diehard Animal Crossing New Horizons fan. Like, anyone who sees her on Twitter knows she loves that game. So they, of course, had her playing that. She was playing Fortnite. She was talking with, I think it was her friend or her sister, about things. And it was just a nice, wholesome commercial. And then while I didn't get to see the Serena Williams one, I'm sure it was equally as wholesome. And it's just, I like the idea of Nintendo going to these celebrities and the celebrities showing that, hey, it's fine to play something like the Nintendo Switch because you just want to have fun with video games and you don't need a super 4K plus Knuckles television to play games that still have bugs despite being graphically superior. Oh, which reminds me, Tyler, did you see the Miles Morales bug about the lamppost?
No, oh, yeah, I did. That was hilarious.
Yeah. So you say, for a game that's supposed to be, you know, absolutely perfect, which it wasn't, but there's a bug where you could actually have Miles turn into a lamppost.
After he posted that,
he actually, the creator of Miles Morales, Brian Michael Bendis, actually cited a comic that said he turned into a lamppost. It's not true at all. But the fact that Brian Michael Bendis was willing to say that was hilarious enough. So, yeah, but go check out these commercials if you can. We actually wrote about the Brie Larson one, but yeah, it's nice. It's nice, and I hope Nintendo does this with more of their cast, if you will.
She's going to be presenting at the Game Awards too.
Yes, it was announced. It was just announced yesterday.
Yep, and
yes.
As is Pedro Pascal, aka the Mandalorian,
Prince Oberyn.
Yep, Prince Oberyn. Actually, fun fact: my dad has been secretly watching Game of Thrones. He watches it at night, so my mom doesn't walk in on him watching it. It's
I wonder why.
It's a little
yeah.
Sketchy.
Don't
I'm
worry,
a little
he fast forwards through the nude bits just like I did. We're classy people, despite what Tyler
Word
thinks
out,
about my
out.
Wait, you missed so many. Like, it's no wonder your takes were so bad about Game of Thrones. You missed.
Oh,
so
shut up!
I'm kidding.
Shut
I'm ragging on you too much. I don't. I'm just in a ragging on Todd mood, and
yeah.
I apologize. You don't deserve that.
You're dang right, and you're the one dragging the line.
Wills was better.
You know nothing, Tyler Kellebaugh. Moving on. But my dad, I was like, hey, Dad, did you see the scene where like the mountain and the viper? He goes, oh, yeah. And he does like the motion where Oberyn's head cracks open. I go, that's the Mandalorian. And he goes, oh, yeah, he dead. Oh, he dead. But yes, Pedro Pascal will also. Isn't that when is the Game Awards this year?
It's next week. Next Thursday.
Okay, so we will be trying to watch that and do the podcast. Maybe we'll see how it all breaks down. But
they're
going to
get
hopefully.
A live call of us freaking out over the Smash Bros. Character.
It's going to
be
awesome. Smash Bros. Abby.
I don't think that's a good idea. We'll pause during like the Nintendo bits, and then when they actually do like the award stuff, we can just talk regular because it's so long. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
Speaking of the Game Awards, the Player's Choice category, which if you recall last year was where Fire Emblem Three Houses won Game of the Year via fan vote, is back. So go and vote for your favorite Nintendo game so we can win once again. And for all of you who hated that, you know, Xenoblade didn't get favorite RPG nomination and the Hyrule Warriors didn't get in because of timing, both those games are in the fan or the Player's Choice category. So if you want to vote for Hyrule or Xenoblade, do that, and let's win 2 years in a row to show who the superior brand is, okay? We deserve it. You know it. I know it. Go make it so.
Vote for Shulk.
But I'd be okay with that. I'm still ticked. There is no reason it should have gotten or shouldn't have gotten a nomination for favorite RPG.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. It was totally ridiculous. So, but going back to Hyrule Warriors really quick, there was a question asked by the team or to the team about whether more Hyrule Warriors games could be on the way. And it was Eiji Aonuma and Yosuke Hayashi, and they noted, quote, I do think circumstances could again align like this again, but I don't think we're expecting this to become a series. We make that decision based on its creative merits, just like we did this time. And Hayashi said, I think it depends on whether we get an idea that'll make all the fans happy. End quote. And I like this for the very basic reason that while the original Hyrule Warriors was nice, it just felt like just your typical out-of-place Zelda story. Where this one is, we know the characters, we want to dive deeper in their world, and, you know, the question of the future, can it change, and blah, blah, blah. That got us already into there. So I think that's why I really feel that it has sold so well, because we already had that connection to Breath of the Wild. Could they
100%.
Do this with... Like, I would not want Hyrule Warriors 2, you know, to come after Breath of the Wild 2, because that would feel kind of trivial. You know, like, oh, they're just doing, like, an epilogue story or whatever. You know, they can do that within the main game. But this was necessary in a way, because it's a prequel. It's telling us what happened right before the calamity. And I liked that, whereas if they did it again, it would kind of feel gratuitous, and we have enough gratuity in games, trust us. So,
yeah, like, when I saw the story, like, it's very good, like, they won't do this thing, like, I don't know, like, a Call of Duty, they do an annual Hyrule Warriors game, so that's a good thing to see, and to hear from creators that says, like, we only will do another Hyrule Warriors games if it's necessary. I mean, if, of course, Natri got the blessings from Eiji Aonuma and everybody else, like, yeah, if it warrants another Hyrule Wars game, okay, but only if it's really needed. So something, I don't know, the first thing popping in my mind is, like, it was, like, a necessary Star Wars film. Like, if it's a film that, deserves to be, like, explained, like, if there is definitely some plot holes or some sort that needs to be filled in, then sure. So, like, yeah, I'm just glad, like, they won't do something like, oh, they're going to make an annual Hyrule Warriors game every single year, or, like, an annual game. So, that's good news to hear.
This game sold really well, though. I mean, I would be surprised if they didn't do another one at some point. It feels like another one is coming.
I mean, okay, again, it's complicated because with Hyrule Warriors, they were just trying. The original. They were just trying to see if they could make this work in a Zelda context. Kind of like what they did with Fire Emblem, and as we saw with the Fire Emblem Warriors, it kind of worked, kind of didn't. You know, like, why did we need, like, the sci-fi monsters? The world may never know. But, you know, there were elements that worked. If they did a sequel, I think they could do it a little bit better. But, I don't know. And with this one, the timing was right because we're all waiting for Breath of the Wild 2. There was a story to be told, and they made it special. They really went deep with the details. I'll be sure to talk about this in my review. But they, like, the details, it felt like Breath of the Wild just in a warrior setting, and that's cool. Can they do that with other Zelda games? Sure. Do I want them to? I don't know. Because eventually, the novelty wears off. I mean, let's be honest here. So... And, like, when did the original Hyrule Warriors come out? Wasn't that, like, 2015, 16? Something like that?
Yeah, it was 2014. It was 2014, 2015, one of those two.
So, like, that's 5-year gap. That's long enough. And then, yes, we had the Fire Emblem Warriors, but this play is honestly completely different. It really does. So, yeah, let's just see. And I appreciate them saying that they could do it, but that they're, you know, going to wait and see how it unfolds because... We do not want a rush to a game. That's how we got Anthem, and we all know how that worked out. Moving on. I said that because of the BioWare news, if you guys didn't know.
Yeah.
Poor BioWare. I mean, I love BioWare. I mean, I really, really like the Mass Effect trilogy, but, like, right after... you could see the end coming right at the end of Mass Effect 3. It's, like, everything after that is just, like, downhill. Mm. Like, why? EA, that's why. Tell me I'm wrong. All right, on to developers that actually know what they're doing. Hi-oh. Doom Eternal. Mm. Yes, it is coming to the Nintendo Switch. You're welcome. Nintendo confirmed that it will be a digital-only release on the 8th, right?
Yeah,
the 8th. So if you've been waiting to get your Demon Slayer on and wield a big freaking gun... Ha ha ha! You can do so on the 8th. So, like, there were rumors going on that it was canceled. It's not. It's just gonna be digital only, apparently. Which, given the times, that's fair. That's fair.
So. Right, and I'm really curious to see, like, since we always praise of how the original game ran very well. So I'm curious to see how Eternal is gonna handle on the Switch. How the port job is gonna be. So I'm curious how it would perform.
Tyler, you played the original on the Switch. You liked it, right?
I did like it. It was really good. It played great. I hope that this does not mean Doomguy gets into Smash and that they announce it at the Game Awards. I know that's meme. I'm falling into the meme right now. The everything is about Smash, but this for me is about Smash.
Well, again, this will make the fans cheer because, again, Isabelle. And Doomguy had a thing. So
they had a thing. Oh, I didn't realize they were together. Oh, wow, this changes everything.
Yeah, that's a little creepy, honestly. I'm a little unnerved. A little unnerved by it.
Hey, opposites attract, man. I can't help it. It's just how it works, okay? But no, like, seriously, though, if they did do Doom Guy in Smash, the ending of the trailer needs to be him meeting up with Isabelle and walking off screen. Like,
yeah,
that's the ending. Like, that's what the fans want. But
that would be a great way to end 2020, I think.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Sting and AEW and Doom Guy and Isabel together at last. You know, it's a match made in heaven or the other place. But I don't know. Doom Guy is tricky because he's a violent character, like uber violent, and not like the Bayonetta you can just make it look stylized and they're not really killing anybody way. I mean, his main weapon is the big freaking gun, and I'm being censoring here. So like, how are you gonna incorporate that? And then that would have to mean a Doom level, right? Because every DLC character has their own level. So like, how are you gonna incorporate the underworld in a PG way? So could it work? Sure. I mean, it's Nintendo. They find loopholes around everything. But no. I mean, Okami's been rumored for a while too. I would be fine with Okami.
Oh yeah, so. me too.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. But I would be definitely shocked if next week we did not get a Smash Brothers announcement. Because we deserve it.
I just imagine like next week Bowser's gonna be on having a presentation like, oh, something else. Oh, we have another presentation from the main character, Bowser. So yeah, something of that sort, I feel like.
Never know. It's gotta be better than Minecraft, Steve. I'm still bitter. You want to know how bitter I am, Tyler? I was thinking, who was the character that came after Min Min? Because I can remember Min Min clearly. But my memory intentionally blocked out Minecraft Steve because I did not want to think about him in Smash Brothers.
You know what? There's a term for that, Todd. And it's called cognitive dissonance.
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
No, on that one, not as much. But
there you go. Yeah. All right, but yeah, we'll just leave that.
You acknowledge that you could think of Steve, you would have to admit that it was memorable. So therefore, you won't acknowledge that you could acknowledge it. That's where the cognitive dissonance comes into play. Made it work.
Nope. All right, and finally, let's talk about someone going to jail. And no, not Tyler. That'll come later. But a Nintendo hacker has been sentenced to 3 years in prison for defiling Nintendo. Will, take it away.
So regarding to this story, it's like, unfortunately, I live on the M-rated side, so just a heads up. So basically, this guy has some big histories of regarding to Nintendo, and I'm just reading the article right now. This case stems back in 2016, when miner Hernandez, using phishing techniques to steal employees' credentials, the hacker gained access to confidential company files related to his game and consoles, including Nintendo Switch, which he later leaks to the public. So yeah, FBI agents investigated and contacted Hernandez in 2017, promised to stop any further activities. He understood the consequence of actions, but he still continued from 2018 to 2019.
The point is to paraphrase this.
I'm just reading out the details of that. But overall, basically, he still was doing illegal activities, and Nintendo basically cracked down on him. And plus, with extra criminal offenses that he'd done, he is now been sentenced. So basically, yeah, don't cross the Nintendo ninjas, or else they will really hunt you down, as we have seen during this past two weeks regarding to the whole piracy, quote unquote, with the tournament. So, which Nintendo, you still are foolish for cracking down on that. But yeah, in this case, you are right to crack down on this guy and put him away in jail for 3 years. But yeah, overall, it's just kind of okay. This thing is a well-deserved case to basically punish someone who clearly was in the wrong. While, of course, with the tournament ones, which I can't help but wonder if you are really for the fans. So, yeah. So, this story is just like, yeah. You cross Nintendo, you're going to get banned or even worse. So, just don't cross Nintendo.
This individual was mentally ill as well. I believe that they sensed him to some sort of mental rehabilitation situation. So, that was tough.
Oh, does he have cognitive dissonance?
No. You know what? The thing is with cognitive dissonance, you don't really realize that you have it until, or that it's happening, because we all have it. Like, I'm sure I've had it many a time on this podcast. This is not a you exclusive thing, Todd. This is just the word of the day. Uh-huh. But no, this guy he was deranged. It was unfortunate.
Right. And there was like, also I'm reading the last one. So aside from 3 years, he also had to agree to pay almost $260,000 in restitutions to Nintendo. So
dang!
That's a lot of money. He does not have that money.
No, he does not have that much money.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, don't cross Nintendo unless like Nintendo does something stupid. Then yes, you can also cross Nintendo. So, but who knows?
All right. Okay, so that's the news, everybody. And now to our main event. It is December somehow, and it's almost the end of the year, thank God. And that means that it's the holiday season. And with the holiday season comes, of course, Christmas, which hopefully will be a delight even in these unfortunate circumstances. And so Tyler had a great idea of looking back and thinking about games that honestly remind us of Christmas, whether it be a theme or a game that you like to play around Christmas, and so on and so forth. So it's time to enter the Temple of Time. Alright, Tyler, so since you were the creator of this idea, which I really appreciate... See, I can't pay you a compliment, kind
Thank you!
And why don't you start us off? What game... Because you heard you had a lot.
I don't deserve a compliment from you today. I've been a little mean to you.
Don't worry. But I appreciate mean to me you, all the time.
You were the bigger person today, and that
I'm
is something
I'm 6'3", Tyler. I'm always
see.
The bigger person.
That's a good point. I am not 6'3". So for me, I am a sentimental sap when it comes to gaming. And every time... I feel that crisp breeze for the first time in winter, my thoughts always turn to the video games that make me feel like it's the holidays. I will always break out a game every holiday season that has some winter, either winter level or winter theme or winter memory, because I'm a sap like that. And for me, the biggest winter game, the ideal holiday game, is Sega's cult classic Nights into Dreams. That game, I've talked about it on the podcast before, but it takes place in your dreams. You're like, you play as these two kids who are like 10 years old, and they're trying to, like, one girl's got to sing for a recital and she's nervous and she keeps having nightmares, and in her dreams she meets this character Knights, who is like this court jester, and like they can pair up with Knights and then fly through these magical worlds. And basically the story is not really the point of the game. But at the end, they both characters kind of find their confidence through their dreams, and they unite and become friends and all that. It's very cute. But the main reason that the game sticks with me is the way they captured flight. Now, this game came out, I think, in 95. I could look up somewhere around there. Long time ago. It's amazing how well Sonic Team captured the feeling of flying. It's an on-rails game. You're not flying everywhere. Like, you can't fly in 3D, but you go around 3D environments, and you're basically trying to score points, and you beat, like, these fantastical bosses, like a Jack in the Box and your Shadow Jester and stuff like that. But the freedom reminds me of Christmas. It does. Like, there's like the music is so happy in the background. It makes me think of Santa Claus. And I know that's weird, but it does. You have this, it teleports you away to a world that no longer exists for you. Like, when you were a kid, you believed in all of these things. And this game captures that sense of belief in a way that no other game really does. There's the levels are extremely colorful. It's in a dream world, and it's, you know, it's everything you could think of in that respect. But they actually had a Sega Saturn. I think there was a calendar within the system that would tell you on what day, if it was Christmas Day, you could play Christmas Nights, and the game would transform. So there'd be, instead of like four, like there are eight levels, and I think in the ending game there were only two. But it told like this abbreviated story, and Knights the Jester just dressed up in red and white, and it was all Santa Claus themed. It's candy canes everywhere in the levels, and it was just, it's a magical experience. The first time I played it was around Christmas time, I think my freshman year of college. I bought it on the Xbox Live Arcade, not really knowing what I was getting into, just saw Sega, and I thought the character looked cool, and I recognized it from Sonic DX. And it just, it became a holiday classic for me. It's hard to play. I would love for them to re-release it on modern systems. I think if you have it on Steam, I think it's on Steam, and I think you could get it for really, really cheap. I highly recommend checking it out and let me know what you think of it if you do. It's a cult classic game, very, very fun, but just the perfect holiday game.
Oh.
Choice.
Like, there's Like when hearing that your story, Tyler, like I'm just kind of wondering myself, like if was there any such games I could actually can relate to, like a game that reminds me of the holiday times, like of course, like I think the like because we just recently got off the anniversary of Xenoblade Chronicles 2, and I still remember actually during the time I waited out. I think it was third. Yeah, I think I waited outside of Nintendo NY to get the game. So I think probably if there's any game that would be reminds me of the Christmas season, I think it probably would be Xenoblade Chronicles 2, if anything else, just because it was pretty much after, yeah, pretty much as well as after my birthday as well. And I still also remember like Xenoblade Chronicles X. I think that was also released sometime in December back during the
Yeah,
Wii U
that was
era.
December 4th, 20.
So I remember that time as well. That's like, yeah, that both those games released in it during pretty much right in my birthday month. So, but to really think of, I don't know, it's just really hard to really nail down a game that reminds me of the seasons. Like, because there's just so many games that like really can put you in that spirit. I mean, maybe I'm just like now becoming that old person, like I'm not as sappy, but I am, granted, I have grown more sappy over the years, but like if there really is a game that's like really put me into that I guess sentimental time period, oh man, I guess it probably would be the original Super Mario Galaxy, because like I still remember, I mean I said this story many times over, like the when I got that the pre-order coin from Super Mario Galaxy on the Wii, like okay, that was an awesome coin, which like that thing is now a collector's item. And of course, naturally getting that voicemail from God Charles Martinet, like at telling you about the release of Super Mario Galaxy for the Wii, is just like I never would have thought I would hear Charles Martinet's voice coming from my phone, which is like, oh my God. So like just hearing, of course, hearing Charles Martinet say, Happy Holidays, and just at the GameStop. Like okay, so for me, like Super Mario Galaxy, like when I, of course naturally when I just played that game on that Christmas, like on that holiday specials, is just like that was a time that I think that's probably one of the most sentimental times. That's like yeah, a Mario game in the holidays. What more do you need to say? It's just like, and of course, as you know, Super Mario Galaxy is just one of the more timeless games that. Now I actually can't play on the Switch now. It's just like, yeah, if anything else, like just going through space, seeing all these levels that Mario, Luigi, and all these different characters, and meeting Rosalina, it just kind of brings me back to that time back in the original Wii era. So if there's any game that actually does bring me to that sentimental value of that Christmas time, I would definitely say it's Super Mario Odyssey.
That's a did you mean Odyssey or Galaxy?
Oh,
Yeah,
Galaxy.
Galaxy's
Sorry.
a great choice. Actually, kind of, that one kind of does it for me too because the Comet Observer, it's a surreal vibe, you know, like the music, Rosalina, it gives
Yes,
off
yes,
this like
yes, yes.
peaceful kind of wintry vibe. But the theme song especially on that one is it's a go-to on my winter YouTube video game playlist, which definitely exists.
Yeah, again, just like that orchestra, like that, like ever since
The
after, of
flutes.
course, Sunshine. Yeah, the orchestra is like that is pretty much the quintessential game of why I play video games. Like, and of course, that just stepped up with Odyssey. So, yeah, Galaxy, like that was the game for me there.
All right. Well, I mean, for me, kind of tricky because there are games I do remember getting Christmas in Christmas season, for various reasons. Like, for example, I got my N64 during Christmas. I've told you the story, but like that was a big thing where I got that and a Pokemon Puzzle League and Stadium and Madden NFL 97, I think it was 97, 98, and like that. So that was a big Christmas thing. Playing a certain recent game, there is of course Super Mario 64, which had multiple snow levels. So there's that. Kirby's Epic Yarn had a really cool snow level.
That's a good one.
I
That's a
remember
very good
playing
one.
that during Christmas season. And but I'm since a certain other couple of my co-hosts like to go off brand for their Christmas memories, or sorry, for our memories of video gaming and stuff, I choose Kingdom Hearts 2. Because in
Okay,
Kingdom
okay,
Hearts
okay, okay.
2, In Kingdom
Nintendo games
Hearts,
only, Todd. Come
no, you didn't say that. You
on.
didn't say that. You said games that Chris was kidding.
I was kidding. I can see why you'd get defensive, but I was totally kidding.
Oh, I learned from the best, Tyler. But in Kingdom Hearts 2, you get to rejoin your old friend Jack Skellington from the Nightmare Before, wait for it, Christmas, and you get to go to Christmas Town, and you can see Santa, and then save Santa from Maleficent and Oogie Boogie, and you actually get like a candy cane shaped keyblade, and yes, your heads are playing This Is Halloween, You're Welcome, but they literally nailed the feel of Christmas Town, and Halloween Town 2, sorry, that was a good movie, but Kingdom Hearts 2, I think that's always my favorite of the Kingdom Hearts genre. The levels are so good, but I always, always enjoyed playing the Christmas Town level because, you know, with Jack and Santa and Sora meeting Santa and realizing that, you know, he was actually a good boy. Kid, you saved the world and universe and whatever how many times and you still didn't think you were good? Come on, grow up, kid. But that one always invokes it because you're literally in a Christmas Town. So that's kind of hard to beat.
That is hard to beat.
You're welcome.
No, that's a very good one as well.
Even though on just an objective level, for years, I loved like asking for video games for Christmas. So like there are lots of games that I could mention that, you know, invoke that feeling because for years that's how I got my games was birthday, Christmas, and if I was really good with my parents, which was really rare. But and then I started buying my own games, I didn't have to worry about it anymore. But like Xenoblade Chronicles X, I asked for 3 games that year. One of them was Xenoblade, and I can't remember the other 2, but mom got all of them for me. And I'm like, okay, yeah, game time.
Yeah.
So I think Donkey Kong was one that I got, like the original Donkey Kong Country Returns, I think. I don't remember.
Donkey Kong, speaking of Donkey Kong, Diddy Kong Racing is another one. Speaking of my YouTube Christmas music playlist, there are so many great levels and great songs on that one. I assume David Wise did them because he did all the rare stuff then. But Everfrost Peak and Walrus Cove and Snowball Valley. The best one was Frosty Village. That one, like all Christmas lights, Christmas trees everywhere. But phenomenal Christmas game.
Yeah.
And just phenomenal game in general.
It's actually kind of interesting that, you know, Nintendo, not just Nintendo, but is there really a Christmas gaming icon?
A Christmas gaming
Mario.
Icon?
No, come on.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, Mario's timeless, yeah, but Mario's necessarily a Christmas gaming icon?
You think that somebody would have come up with something to bank off the Christmas season, right?
Yeah, you kind of like, would.
Because it'd be like, how many games come out like yearly, and like someone can't come up with like a really cool Christmas game? I mean, come on, gaming industry, you've been around for how long?
Again, like I'm just thinking because again, we have always like had that old-fashioned debate. Like, of course, like Die Hard is a Christmas movie, all that things. Like, there's something that it was the penitential Christmas thing. Again, dark Christmas movies, Christmas games, Christmas icon. Like, just think about it now. Like, that is a very good topic to think about. Like, what is, like been that universal yearly thing that has been pushed or advertised to really sell video games? I mean, sure, we have the consoles now, but is that really a thing? Or what is there, I don't know, a particular character besides Santa Claus that sells video games? I don't know.
I don't think there has, and I think that's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. I think like the best one, the only one that comes to mind for me is Christmas Nights, which is not even a full game, but it's just a cool kind of Easter egg, I suppose, in the actual Nights in the Dreams game. I can't think of any others. Kingdom Hearts is a really good one.
I don't know. So.
Oh, wait. I got one. This is in the Die Hard line, but
oh boy,
Batman Arkham Origins took place on Christmas Eve.
It did. Oh
yep.
Gosh.
Yep. Now, so Batman is the ultimate Christmas character in.
Oh book. I mean, now I'll grant you that was definitely a Christmas game, and I think they even released it on the holiday season, but Yeah, I know that's not like one that they did all the time, but it was definitely one that fit a mood of Christmas for sure. So, yeah, but that was a nice one. I honestly forgot about that one. That one, yeah, that wasn't the best Arkham game. It's like it's the redheaded stepchild, although the boss fights were really good. So, yeah, but that was a good catch, Tyler. That was a really good one. The gaming industry, we're
Thank you.
giving
Yeah,
you.
that one just kind of like dawned on me.
Yeah, like that's that we're open for business. I'm sorry. I mean, like we need to open it up. You need to start thinking, you need to start thinking about, banking in on the Christmas season, because the first person that does it, yes, they're going to inspire an unfortunate wave of terrible Christmas themed games. We all know what's going to happen, but the good ones will be memorable, and that's what's important.
The one more great Nintendo Christmas thing. We have a bunch of ornaments that we've collected over the years, as many have. Two of them are great Mario ones where he's handing out candy canes, but my favorite ornament that we have that we put, me and my older brother would always like battle each other to see who could put an ornament with our name on it highest on the tree. And it would get ridiculous where like we'd be like bringing the ladder in, like this 8-foot ladder in by ourselves to like climb up when nobody else was around to put our ornaments higher than the other person. So we had to declare a truce because it was escalating too much. And the way we did that was we have a Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong ornament where Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong have Christmas hats. Donkey's got the sack over his back and Diddy's like on the sack handing out Game Boy Colors to people. The best ornament goes at the top of the tree every year. Diddy is like technically a little higher than Donkey Kong on there. So I've always taken some solace that I'm actually winning. But it's a cool ornament, and Nintendo and Christmas go hand in hand. Thank you very much.
All right, so
Yeah,
let's just end it there. But let us know your own game series and characters, or even levels that remind you of the Christmas spirit or get you in a Christmas kind of mood. Wrong with that? And I'm sure, like I remember, I think it was like a year or two ago. I remember putting up the Earthbound Christmas music. That they had, like there was like a snow level.
Yeah, Winters is a good one.
That was it. It was Winters, and like that was a good one. But like, let us know your own games that inspire the Christmas memory for you, and we might just share it here on the podcast next week. So with that, Tyler.
Yes, well, I was telling a really cool story about my Donkey Kong Christmas ornament, so I wasn't ready for this part. But I'm going to be ready for this part in a few seconds. Okay, here it is. I think this is the
Yes, it was
yes.
about Animal Crossing.
Do you think Animal Crossing New Horizons will win the game of the year at this year's Game Awards? And 47% of you say yes, and 53% of you say no.
Monsters! Where's your Christmas spirit? Get some jollies to, Animal Crossing. Come on, man.
Cheating, but Animal Crossing also a Christmas game.
Oh, that's true. They totally do Christmas themes.
And
Yep.
Tom Nook is a good take on the capitalistic nature, commercialization of Christmas.
Here we go. Anyway, but
Well,
yeah.
how many times have you made Tom Nook is a crooked capitalist jokes, Todd? But when I
No,
make one,
I didn't say
I've
he's a
gone too
cap.
far.
I didn't say he was an evil capitalist. I said Tom Nook is evil. All right, totally
That's
different.
true.
All
That's
right.
true. That is true. But
It's
why is
it
he
no, it
evil?
was actually the
Let's
game developers.
extrapolate.
It's the game developers who've said he's a capitalist. They said like, he's just a businessman trying to make his way in the world. It's like, yeah, by putting us all in debt, evil. Anyway, so for next week, let's do the game awards and let's ask, do you think there is going to be a Smash Brothers DLC reveal at the game awards? Yes, no, there's going to be two reveals. Okay, so A, B, and C. There's going to be one reveal, there won't be a reveal, there's going to be two reveals. Okay, Tyler?
You got it.
All right. And if you want to mention who you think will be those characters, by all means, whether it's Doomguy, Okami, Sora, who are some others? Geno. I don't know, like, who, and after Minecraft Steve, my predictions are just I just can't anymore, just because who knows what's gonna come now. So let us know in the comments below, and of course let us know how you are doing in Hyrule Warriors: Age of Calamity, and if you are enjoying it. Are you one of those people who definitely want to go to Super Nintendo the World when it opens? What do you think about Doom Eternal coming out, or the Switch commercials, and so on and so forth? And who are you voting for in the Game Awards Players' Choice category? Let us know. So, for Tellius Tyler and the birthday boy, Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag!